welcome to another edition of The Journey of Hope. My name is Rodney Mathers. We're so glad you could be with us today. We're going to spend a little bit of time doing an update on the EEOC's efforts to keep employers from using criminal background checks as a screening method to weed people out. We're also going to talk about house arrest today and how to survive that. And how does an ankle monitor work anyway? We're going to look into that. All that and more coming up next on The Journey of Hope. Welcome to The Journey of Hope. The Journey of Hope is a podcast specially designed to address the issues of men and women recently released from incarceration. Rodney Mathers is your host. Once again, welcome to the show. Here's Rodney.
And thank you, Mike. And as promised, we're going to spend a little bit of time talking about the EEOC. We've done this on some previous broadcasts, and we're going to spend some time today just doing a quick little update. The first thing I want you to know is that this continues to be an issue in the news. I saw some articles as recently as August the 12th on the internet. This one comes from the American Association of Lawyers, and they're talking about the possibility of further lawsuits going forward. And what they're saying here in the article is that with advances in technology, it's getting easier for hiring managers to conduct background checks on would-be employees. And we've already talked about how that's the case, but they're also saying that the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission is warning employers to be careful about how they use information that they find, especially if checks into criminal records have what they call a disparate impact. And that word disparate means just a negative impact on a protected group of people. And it seems to me that the steam is building on this. They also go on to say that our sense is that the problem is snowballing because of the technology allowing these companies to do these background checks. I mean, anybody can go on the internet right now and for a fee can do a background check on anybody. And there are numerous companies out there that make this available. And as we've mentioned on previous broadcast, it is okay for an employer to hire companies to do this, or they can do it in-house. And a lot of them are just doing it in-house now with a credit card number and $30 or $40. You find out everything you need to know about somebody. The EEOC tells the Associated Press that if employers consider criminal history, they must also consider the nature of the job, the seriousness of the offense, and how long ago the incident occurred. For example, it may make sense to disqualify a bank employee with a past conviction record for embezzlement, but not necessarily a DUI that happened a decade ago. And so we're going to continue to follow the EEOC's efforts to eliminate the use of a criminal background check as a weeding process. I mean, at least give us a chance to get the interview. I have Rose here with me today. How's it going, Rose?
Oh, it's going fine.
What do you think about all this?
Well, I'm glad that someone is looking into that. I think that, like you said, we should at least, people should have the opportunity.
The opportunity for an interview.
For an interview, exactly.
At least to explain their case.
Correct. Yeah. At least to get to that point.
And I think that's what the EEOC is doing, is they're trying to give people a chance instead of just, you know, I know that personally I've applied for dozens and dozens, probably hundreds of jobs where I don't even get a call back. And I know I'm qualified. I've got a bachelor's degree and a lot of years of experience of doing important things, and don't even get a call back. And it is the criminal record that's keeping that from happening.
That's right. That's exactly what it is.
You know, a lot of you, when you got arrested, you had to spend some time on house arrest while you were on bond. But it's increasingly becoming popular these days to put people on parole and to stick them locked up in their house. We're going to talk about how to survive house arrest when we come back right after this. My name is Rodney Mathers, and you're on the Journey of Hope. You're listening to The Journey of Hope. Rodney Mathers would like to hear from you. So send email to mathersrodney@yahoo.com. His email address again, mathersrodney@yahoo.com. And make sure and follow our Twitter feed. Search for Rodney Mathers on Twitter. Now back to the show.
He said, I'll love you till I die. She told him, you'll forget in time. As the years went slowly by, she still prayed upon his mind. He kept her picture on his wall. Went half crazy now and then. But he still loved her through it all. Hoping she'd come back again. Kept some letters by his bed. It in 1962. He had underlined in red every single I love you. I went to see him just today. Oh, but I didn't see no tears. All dressed up to go away. First time I'd seen him smile in years. He stopped loving her today. It placed a ring.
And welcome back to the Journey of Hope. My name's Rodney Mathers. We're glad you could be with us today. We're going to spend a little bit of time talking about how to survive house arrest. If you know anybody out there that's on bond and is awaiting trial and has house arrest, or if you're going through that process now, this is for you. These are some instructions on how to survive house arrest. The first thing you need to do, now check this out. First of all, before I start telling you about this, I went through 25 months of this on a GPS monitor. The GPS technology is such that they know where you are up to 3 feet, and I had to turn in a schedule a week in advance. So I've got a pretty good, solid knowledge of what it feels like to be on house arrest. And these are some things that I did and some other things that I found for suggestions. One thing I would suggest that you do is you subscribe to several magazines that will make you feel good to read. You should select publications that are things that are both informative and things that are fun. What you don't want to do is waste a lot of money on magazines that say the same thing over and over. You don't particularly want to go out and get a bunch of gossip magazines that are going to rehash the same old stuff. If you're real into political events and current events, what I did is I took time, and actually it was a gift from my parents. I took time, and my wife too. I took Time and Newsweek, and I read them cover to cover all the time. And I'll tell you, you can really see a difference in the slant in the writing, but it was fun to do that. And there are a lot of other magazines out there as well. Now, what you need to keep in mind is it takes up to 6 weeks to get a magazine subscription in. So you're going to have to plan ahead or have somebody do that for you. And you need to be sure that these are things that you're going to enjoy and aren't just going to sit around. If you get the magazines, read them. Here's another thing you can do. Now, look, I know a lot of us out there don't have the money for this, but if you can afford it, you need to get cable. Dude, I want to tell you, TV is about to become your best friend. You need to have the service installed before you get home so that you can play with it when you get home. You need to make sure that the service is available in your area. And you also need to have a plan B for watching TV if your cable goes out. Now, look, I'm not suggesting at all that you sit around all day and watch TV, okay? But everybody has a little bit of downtime, and things like magazines and cable TV can be a nice way to fill that time without doing something destructive to yourself. Here's some other things you can do. Sign up for an online course. It's good to use this time to enrich your life through higher education and learning about the world. You could learn a new skill or a trade. Something has obviously gone wrong in your life and you're working through a court-ordered sentence, and it's up to you to change for the better. You might ask your question, what can I do to better myself? Listen, another thing you can do is arrange to have friends come over, relatives, parents, brothers, sisters. I know that in my case, I wasn't able to get out a lot. They were real picky about what they approved me to do. It wasn't until later in my parole that I was even allowed to go to the grocery store. So you need to have, if you can, a network full of people that are willing to assist you with that sort of thing. And let me tell you how you do that. I haven't met a parole officer yet that won't let you go to church. Do that. I think it's one of the most important things you can do when you're on house arrest. Not only does it get you out of the house, but it does so in a productive way. And who knows, you might learn something, and you might meet some friends there that are able to assist you as you go through this process of house arrest. One of the things you need to keep in mind when you're on house arrest is that it is temporary. I don't know who said this. I think it's somewhere in the Bible, but this too shall pass. And it will, believe me. Okay, another thing you can do is you can take up a hobby. Those of you that listen to the show on a regular basis, you know that I'm real into music, and I like to play music and record music and that sort of thing. I had a lot of time to do that while I was on my house arrest period of my parole, and I would suggest that you take up a hobby. It doesn't have to be that sort of thing, although it would be cool if you did, but, you know, you could, ladies, beadwork, sewing, guys, you too, woodwork, something you could do there at your house that will eat up time during your day that is productive, and that's the key to house arrest, is doing things in your life while you're there at the house that are not destructive, things that are productive. And along those same lines, I would suggest this as well. Find a way to make up for your offense. Whatever you did to be sentenced to house arrest, you can make amends, if not with the victim, within your own heart and your own soul. And even though that effort may go unrecognized in other people's lives, it won't go unnoticed in your life to yourself. And so making amends would be a good project while you're under house arrest. It's going to soothe your soul, and I highly suggest that you take the steps necessary to forgive yourself and to come to the place in your life where you are forgiving yourself for what you did, and you're ready to take the steps necessary to move forward and become a productive part of society. Here's another thing you can do. I mentioned earlier going to church. I do know that some parole officers will allow you, depending on your offense, to do some reach out work. If you're unable to find a job while you're, say, on a monitor or you're on house arrest, which, by the way, is very difficult to do, and that would be a whole nother show, but you can reach out. You can call your dad, your grandmother, and have a good chat. Get involved in their life in a way that you never have before. Your relatives, And you can listen to them and hear what their life is all about and internalize the things that you're saying or that they're saying in a way that you've probably never done before in your life. This is a good time to do that. Another way to reach out is I do know that some parole officers will allow you to do some volunteer work. There's always places like the Salvation Army and Goodwill, and who knows, maybe the networking that's done there might turn into an eventual job. So those are some things I suggest as well. And so finally, I want to mention this one again because I think it bears mentioning again. Go to church. Your parole officer is going to let you go to church. Most of them encourage it. It's a good place for you to be on Sunday morning, and I highly suggest that you do it, okay? Hey, listen, we're going to be right back after this. My name is Rodney Mathers, and you're on the Journey of Hope. Hey, this is Rodney Mathers with the Journey of Hope. Hey, Rose, did you hear about the contest we were running?
Yeah, I think it's a really neat idea.
Yeah, we had somebody generous enough to donate a $50 gift certificate that's good for any Landry's-owned restaurant. If I got the certificate, I'd go to what's that steak place down the road? Sawgrass.
Yeah,
that's where I'd go. But look, it's any Landry's-owned restaurant. And here's how the contest works. I'm telling you, the first person that emails me with a suggestion on how to increase the number of listeners on this show, I'm going to get your information and I'm going to mail you the gift certificate. It's a little credit card looking thing, and you just take it in there and it's good for $50 at any of those Landry's own restaurants. And those are all over the United States, by the way, which brings up another topic. If you're looking at the webpage, you'll notice that we've put donate buttons on the page this week. The reason we've done that is Rose and I are trying to raise the money to get the equipment necessary to do phone interviews on the podcast. We have people lined up. Actually, there's three guests I can think of off the top of my head.
That's right, yeah.
that would like to do phone interviews with us, and we don't have the recording type of equipment to do that. And so we don't need much. We don't need but about $100 maybe. We were looking at it on eBay today, and it's something like that. So if it's in your heart to move some money in this direction, I swear to God that that's what it goes for. It goes for buying the equipment necessary to do the phone interviews. But hey, listen, back on the other subject, if you've got an idea on how to increase listenership, send it to me at mathersrodney@yahoo.com. I'll get your information and I'll shoot the gift card to you.
Strips my conscience bare, it's witchcraft. And I've got no defense for it, the heat is too intense for it. What good would common sense for it do? 'Cause it's witchcraft.
And welcome back to the Journey of Hope. Thank you, Frank Sinatra. Hey, what is an ankle monitor anyway? How do those darn things work? If you're on house arrest, you're probably on some sort of a monitoring system. They're not real good at just taking your word for it on where you've been and so forth. So if you're on house arrest, you probably got some sort of a GPS ankle bracelet or another kind of bracelet. I'm told that just a few years ago, before the GPS bracelet came out, that people wore ankle bracelets that were tied into the telephone, and the GPS is too, but the way it would work is if you went past the threshold of the door, they had some kind of way of knowing that, and they would issue a violation. It's not quite that way now with the GPS devices. They know where you are within 3 feet, and it's not as severe as it was in those terms, but it's still pretty serious business. And before we even go into this ankle bracelet stuff, here's the first thing I want to tell you, and it's the main thing. Be where you're supposed to be when you're supposed to be there. And I want to tell you something. In my 25 months of parole, I would say 90% of the people that I saw get violated were on ankle bracelets and weren't where they were supposed to be. The other 10% failed their P test. So be where you're supposed to be when you're supposed to be there, okay? Now, you know that the acronym GPS stands for Global Positioning Satellite System, which is based on a satellite signal, and there are two different kinds of these. It's, and you know that it's just a bracelet that goes around your ankle. They have some now where you don't have to carry an additional little box with you that's plugged into your telephone. It's all self-contained on the ankle, and I saw some guys with those. It's not the kind that I had. I had a little box that I had to carry around with me that was kind of a companion to the ankle bracelet, but there's two different kinds. There's one called active and one called passive, and here's the difference. The active GPS, the way it works is when an offender or me or you wears this type of bracelet, you better be where you're supposed to be, because the data is collected in real time and is bounced down to a secure website from a satellite almost immediately, and you are a little green dot on your parole officer's screen. I know in the parole office that I was in that all of the parole officers were issued BlackBerries that had the capability of accessing each of their clients on their caseloads whereabouts at any time. And so you need to keep that in mind, and that technology is very readily available, especially in major metropolitan areas, parole offices in those areas. And so another kind of ankle bracelet is called passive. A passive GPS unit works just a little bit differently. In this case, your data is stored throughout the day, and then at the end of the day, you take a device and put it into what's called a docking station, and then all of your information is uploaded to a secure website, and part of your parole officer's job is to check your whereabouts throughout the day. And, you know, if you've got some kind of an exclusion zone that you're not supposed to be in there, I highly recommend that you don't go there. These things are serious business, and you got to remember that it's nothing personal between you and your parole officer. It's your parole officer's job. It's what they get paid to do. If you violate your parole, meaning if you're not where you're supposed to be when you're supposed to be there, they're going to violate you. That's their job. That's what they get paid to do. And no sense in getting angry about it. That's just kind of the way it is. So I can't stress enough how accurate the technology is and how important it is that you do what they've told you to do. The way that the data gets collected on these things is amazing. The data that is being collected is based on a few different variables. In both types of units, whether it's active or passive, all the locations that you've been to on the point are going to be shown. So it's also going to show how you got from point A to point B. Okay? I came across this in my parole. There are areas that they referred to as zones, and it's another feature of the ankle bracelet is that it tracks various zones that an offender is not allowed to travel within. Let me give you an example. If you have a victim in your crime, if you go anywhere around where they're employed, that's a zone violation. And if you violate the zone, here's what they would do in the parole office that I came from. They call the victim and tell them that you're in the area, and then the next thing they do is they issue a warrant for your arrest. So stay out of those zones. And the main thing to remember here is, look, if you're doing what you're supposed to do, you have absolutely nothing to worry about. Okay, these devices are very accurate, and that's why I wanted to do this little piece on how an ankle bracelet works. Because if you're going through the house arrest process right now, or you know someone who is, pass this along to them. Okay, all right, we're going to be right back after this. My name is Rodney Mathers, and you're on the Journey of Hope. Hey, everybody, this is Rodney Mathers with The Journey of Hope. You know, as we've been talking about today, we've been talking about ways to survive that house arrest. And one of the things you could do is take up a musical instrument. That's what I did. And I like to play guitar now. But I want to tell you about a product out there that's really cool. It's called the Jam Buddy Chord Chart. And the way it works is if you can learn a few chords and then you get this chart, you'll be able to play a bunch of different songs in a bunch of different keys. This is an incredible way of organizing your playing. It's really cool. You got to see it. And you can see a free sample of it at a place called angiesbanjo.com. That's angiesbanjo.com. What you do is you go on there and you follow the link for the Jam Buddy chord chart, and you're going to get a free, they give you a whole free page where you can take a look at how this thing works, and you can put it to work right away for free. It's called the Jam Buddy chord chart. Welcome back to The Journey of Hope. We've made it to my favorite part of the show, Rose. It's the part of the show I like to call the Song of the Week. It's my favorite part.
Really?
Yeah, it is. Listen, here's what we're going to do. We're going to do something a little bit different this week. But before we do, I want to remind you that anybody that sends me an MP3 or a WAV file, we're going to play it in this section of the show. It's because we deal with such heavy things over here. And like we've been talking about with this house arrest stuff today, you need a hobby, something to divert your attention from the stressors that come into your life. I like to play music, and if you're one of those people and you send me a WAV or an MP3 of your song, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to put it on the show. I've put some of my music on the show. I put some of my friends' music on the show. Send me a WAV file or an MP3. Some of you disc jockeys over there that listen to me on Podomatic, send me some of your stuff. I know y'all've got some really cool house mix music that you've done that's original. Send that to me, and I'll even consider using it as bumper music on the show. Remember, you can get in touch with me at MathersRodney@yahoo.com. Now, we're going to do something a little bit different today for the Journey of Hope Song of the Week. Here's what we're going to do. When I was in prison, I spent 7 years and 11 months in incarcerated and then 25 months on parole. And during the time that I was in prison, the song I'm about to play for you was my anthem. And I want you to listen to the words, and I want you to try to internalize them yourself. Here we go. This is my favorite song. It's the way I got through prison. And here it is just for you on the Journey of Hope. We'll be right back. And we've come to the end of another show. We hope you learned some things today. Rose, thanks for being with me today. Rose is on vacation this week, so she's hanging out with me for the show.
Love vacation.
Hey, listen, what did you think about the stuff we talked about with the ankle bracelet? You think that was right on the money or what?
It was definitely right on the money.
You had to live that with me while I went through the house arrest.
I did.
And what would you like to say to maybe spouses out there that are living with someone who is under house arrest?
It's tough. First, I've got to say that it's really tough. It's... you know, you've got your husband, your significant other back in your life like I did, but you can't go anywhere. He can't go shopping with you. He can't, you know, even go outside and help you carry in groceries, or if you had a flat tire, you know, block from the house, you know, he still couldn't go and help you. So,
and that happened to us one time.
It did. I locked my keys in the car.
You locked your keys in the car, and I couldn't leave the house to go help you.
Yeah, you had the spare, and you couldn't leave, so I had to walk back to the house, pick up the spare, and walk back. And I mean, luckily, I was within walking distance, but it's tough. And I'll tell you, that walk over and that walk back, I sure was upset.
We're past it now. No, yeah, and it's like I said earlier in the show, you got to remember that the house arrest thing is
temporary.
It's temporary.
And then you've got to think of that. That's what I had in my mind the whole time. This is temporary. This is temporary. And here we are at the end of that, and things are so much better. But, you know, it's challenging. It's challenging, but it you do get over it. You do get on the other side of that, and... you're the better for it.
We're going to be bringing Rose into some more shows so that she can give the point of view from a spouse, and we plan on doing that soon. Listen, this too shall pass, those of you that are on house arrest. And there's one more thing I want to remind you of. If God is for you, who can be against you? We'll see you next time right here on Journey of Hope.